Hello, hello, hey, hello, 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 hey, hello, 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 hey, hello, 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 hey, hello, hello. Hello, welcome to another episode of In the Meantime. So today I found some really, really cute poems that I want to read to you guys. And it doesn't have a title, but it's really cute. Where were you when I needed you, when I thought no one was there? Where were you when I called your name from the pain I could no longer bear? Where were you when the tears came rolling down my eye? Where were you when the friends left and all I heard was goodbye? You were there the whole time, I must attest to that. You were the one holding the knife that stabbed me in my back. You were there the entire time when I was crying out your name. You were there with a smile on your face, enjoying all my pain. By Anonymous. That was really cute. So, I just wanted to say, this quarantine has been really, 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 really nice. Like, amazing. I know on our end, the governor will be doing another meeting conference today, later on today, to see how long we'll be shut down and what will all will be open next week, starting Monday. I am excited that the parks are going to be opening up. I am still a little skeptical about it. I definitely don't want more people getting sick, but at the same time, fresh air is definitely needed. And walking and running around my apartment complex is not the best. But it'll be really nice. And I've just really been enjoying this time, seeing people that are just growing closer together, realizing the beauty that's within yourself, getting things done and accomplished. I have started working on my patio, and it's definitely a lot more work that I thought it would be. So, of course, I had like just boxes of unnecessary stuff that I finally went through and organized and trashed. And it was really sad because I, like my family, we keep stuff and we don't hoard, but we just keep stuff and we're like, oh, this is important. This means something. And we will have stuff. I think my dad still has a TV that he got like in 91, and it's this huge German box TV that of course you can't plug in here in the US, and like it doesn't work, but he has it for sentimental value. So going through that stuff, and it was like, oh, I remember buying this toy, I remember playing with this when I was younger, and I was just like, you know, we gotta let stuff go. And it was not as hard as I thought it would be. Granted, those boxes have been sitting on my patio for years since I moved there, a couple years. And getting rid of it, of course, was a little sad, but it was not that bad. It was refreshing. It was like, you know what? It's time to get rid of some things. It's time to let things go. It's time to move forward. It's time to grow. And I just got to keep moving, and I can't keep moving forward with all this baggage. So I got rid of stuff. I cleaned off my patio. It looks like no one lives there. I put a little rug out there, and I'm excited now to start decorating my patio, decorating my apartment. I hung up a painting that my sister bought me, and she bought me this beautiful painting that I think she got from Bali, and it's gorgeous. I absolutely love it. I did want to get it framed, but it was gonna be super expensive, and I was like, no, I'm not paying more to get it framed than how much she bought it. So I just hung it up, and it looks really cute. Patio's cleaned off. I put some lights up there, and I have to get some more lights and get some more screens and screen in my patio. It's going to be really nice. I'm excited about that. But this is stuff that I've had the time to do. I'm not going to lie and say that I didn't. I had the time to do it, and I just didn't do it. I wasn't doing stuff. And I like that I'm getting out of that mindset now. I like that a lot more people are getting out of that mindset. Like, you have time to accomplish things. You have time to do the little things, like clean your patio. Granted, I am trying to find a way to get rid of these spiders and mosquitoes and stuff. I put up some traps, and when I tell you, absolutely nothing has been stuck on this little spider trap thing. It's been ridiculous. But the next thing that I'm going to try is the lemon peppermint oil and water spray. And they said that, like, the spiders don't like to be around it. So I'm going to try that so I can use my storage. That would be nice. And then I'm going to decorate and have very few people over. Like, very few. One person. We can do that. But yeah, it's been really nice. I've been doing a lot. I feel like I've been editing so much stuff. I've been taking more pictures, just really enjoying the moment. I've been cooking more. When I tell you, I'm about to make somebody really happy with all this food, and I'm learning how to cook, and I can stop looking at recipes, because I think that's what gets me. Is I get stuck looking at the recipes, and now it's like, no, this is inside of you. No, just let it flow. Just sprinkle until the ancestors say, enough, my child. So I've been cooking, you know, just enjoying this time. And I really want to change the perspective of everything being super negative and sad during this time and just super disappointing. Yes, this is a very, very sad time. Not going to take away from that. There's so many people that are dying, but there are so many people that have been cured, that are been healed from this virus that's been going around. And let's celebrate that milestone, that there have been people that are coming out better, that are coming out stronger. So even if you have not contracted the virus, let's come back stronger. Let's come out of this better. Today, though, I wanted to get personal, like really, really personal, and talk about, you know, my family and how we've been getting closer together. So I have three sisters, two older sisters, one younger sister, and my dad and my mother. And I've been very blessed to have different relationships with each one of my family members, but at the same time, it has been tough. So I'm taking this time to learn how to rebuild the relationships. And I had a wonderful phone call from my little sister, and she was just asking all these beautiful questions that I, of course, felt bad that even had to be asked. But, you know, it was just really nice and beautiful that she was able to feel like she can ask those questions finally. So she dug deep and she took time to really get into herself and the things that have been bothering her, the things that we glaze over, the things that we say aren't that important, that you'll get over it, you'll understand when you're older. And I don't feel like we can fall back on that answer anymore. Like, we live in such different times that we just can't keep telling our children and young adults that you'll understand when you're older. Like, just give me more. What is it that I'm actually understanding? And she started asking those questions, and it was so therapeutic. And I just had, like, so much love for her, because I did not grow up with her. And just to have the opportunity to really talk, and it's hard to say I don't really know you, and here are the tough questions that I have. Why didn't I get the opportunity to know you? Why didn't this go the way that it should have went? And what I really think about is, we have this idea of who we want to be. And we get asked so young, what do you want to be when you grow up? I ask the question, what type of person do you want to be? What kind of impact on the world do you want to have? And so when we have these ideas of the type of person that we want to be, we think about right and wrong. We think about morals and values. And when we see that our morals and values do not add up to what our parents have done, we have questions. Why? Why isn't this matching up? If your yes is a yes, then why was it a no? How can you tell me to be one way and you lived a completely different life? Those are questions that we have, and they're good questions to have. And it's about time that we stood up and started asking these questions. I often ask these questions to my dad. And I asked in a different way to my mom. And it made me reflect on the type of relationship that I have with them. And it's like, okay, I feel more comfortable asking my dad because I feel like he'll give me an honest answer. Even if his honest answer is, I don't know, he's just, I messed up, I don't know. And what are we going to do about it? And that, like, at first it was like, don't tell me you don't know. And what are we going to do to move past it? Like, no, I'm still hurt. I'm still dealing with that. And that's how my little sister is. And it's amazing to me that we didn't grow up the same way, but we still have some of the same thought processes. And so she's asking these questions as well. And she's just like, well, why did you do this? You know, why didn't you? Why weren't you there? Why not? And my dad's just like, I messed up. I was wrong. Okay, so love me where I am so we can move forward. And it's like, no, let me be hurt. Let me take a minute. And I think that is something else that we really need to be in the mindset of and really think about. We need to take a moment to be in the emotions that we feel. Do not be consumed by your emotions. Do not be led by your emotions, but take a moment to feel that. If you're hurt, take a moment to say, oh, this hurts me. I am hurt. I'm in pain. Take a moment to say, oh, I'm happy. I like this. Let's be in this moment for a minute. And then start to process through it. But we cannot continue to ignore our emotions. We cannot continue to be like, oh, you'll be all right. That's how I was brought up to be sometimes, was, oh, you're upset. Okay, move. What are you going to do? Let's move forward. I don't have time for you to be upset. I don't have time for you to be in whatever emotion you got going on right now. We got stuff to do. And for me, being raised like that, I did not know how to express my emotions. I didn't know how to accept my emotions. I didn't know how to be in them. So if I was mad, we got to do something. Like, either this is going to fix, but I can't be in this. I don't know what this is, and I don't like the way that it feels. If I was happy, I might let like one crocodile tear come out and then keep moving. Like, okay, and life is still going. Life is still going, whether you're happy, mad, sad, excited, fearful, life is still going. And that's how I learned to deal with my emotions. And so now as an adult, it's like, no, you have emotions. If you're happy, you should probably let someone know that what they did made you happy. You should probably let someone know that you're happy about something. And I know I talked about that before in a previous podcast, but it's just always something that comes up again. And it's just really funny because I remember Oh my gosh. So someone had gotten me something that I really wanted, and it was just the smallest thing, right? It was this huge, like Rice Krispie treat. And I was so happy. I was so elated that I laid down next to it on the floor and just cried and wouldn't say anything. That, from other people's perspective, is confusing. Like, if I'm looking at you just on the floor bawling, crying, I don't know what is happening. I don't know what is going on. Should I be here for you? Should I not be here for you? Like, what is this? Why is it happening? Should I apologize? Like, that, it's just really confusing. But me, I'm just like, I'm so happy and I'm not gonna say anything. No words came out of my mouth, just a couple of tears, and I just laid there. Like, don't talk to me. Do not interrupt my space right now. And so now learning how, like, looking back at that, and it's so funny. And then now just being like, okay, I'm happy. What you did made me so happy. I'm so grateful. I appreciate everything. And we have to learn to be in that. We have to learn to, let's be happy for a little bit. I like that a couple of people that I gleaned from, as far as like celebrity wise go, they always say that they give themselves a moment to be in that emotion, whether it's once a month. They'll take, okay, the negative comments, or, you know, the dark remarks, the things that really hurt them, the things that they feel like they missed out on, that sadness. They take a moment once a month and they're like, I'll be in this sad moment. I'll express how down this made me. I'll express how upset I was, so that way I can move through and move forward, because it's hard to move forward with stuff that you're still carrying. And when you aren't expressing yourself, when you glaze over things, you still carry it with you. It's not like it goes away. It's still with you because you haven't released it. And when we're able to express our emotions, we're able to release it. So that was a great conversation I was able to have with my sister. It was like, you know, you were sad, you were hurt, and daddy had to know. Daddy, you have to express that to him in a way where he understands. But if you have a moment where, and I do this with my children, I give you a space, like, you're feeling something, you just got here, you know, you don't know how to properly express your emotions. So I'm going to give you a safe space where you can express the way that you feel. If you're frustrated, if you're just, so much is going on and you don't know how to express it in a way to where I can say it's respectful to me, I'm going to give you space to do that. And so I you know, brought it up to her, like, maybe you should bring it to him this way and start off with, because trust and believe, my children have to start off with, this is inside of me. I don't know how to express it in a way that's respectful to you, but here it is. And so that gives the other person the opportunity to say, like, okay, I know they're not intentionally being rude and disrespectful. I know they're not intentionally trying to hurt me, but they don't know how to say it to me in a way that won't hurt me. So it helps me put up a protective layer so I don't take it personal. And it may be, what you have to say may be personal, but I won't take it as bad. I won't take it as bad. So I won't say, oh, you just gut punched me and stabbed me. Like, nope, I can take the gut punch. Okay, but I'm not going to take the stabbing, because I know that you're trying to find a way to express yourself in the way that you feel without hurting me. But until we get to that point, until you learn that language, until you learn how to speak in a way that expresses yourself and doesn't hurt me, then we just got to let it out. Granted, you're still going to be hurt though when you receive that information. And so that's what I was explaining to her as well. Like, yeah, daddy's going to feel some type of way. His feelings are going to be hurt, but it needs to be said. It's something that you have to let go of. And it's a hurt that he caused, whether intentionally or unintentionally, that he has to take ownership of so that we can move forward. And it is hard to do that as an adult. It is hard to say that I did something so bad to you that it hurt you, that you held on to it, and now you want to give it back to me because it wasn't yours in the first place. Like, that is hard to take ownership of and for you to grow up and move past. And again, conversations that just needed to be had. And so I often play devil's advocate in a lot of family conversations. I often say, like, oh, you know, you just have to think about the space that they're in. You have to think about how they grew up. And I remember the conversation I had with my dad was, you know, growing up, you never said, oh, you're beautiful. You always were just like, you know, you're this because you're my child, you're smart. Because you're my child, you're caring. Because you're my child, you're this. But it was never anything physical. And my dad never really acknowledged our physical attributes. Besides, like, oh, you're a girl, so you're going to take care of yourself. You're a girl, so you're going to clean up. You're a girl, so you're going to do this. And so when I brought that up to him, and he was just like, I didn't think that that was important. And I was like, granted, you know, it's not that important. It didn't make me feel any less of myself. But now as an adult, and men and women are like, oh my gosh, you're so beautiful. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, thanks. I don't know what that means. That doesn't mean anything to me, because I put meaning towards being smart. I took meaning towards, oh, you're talented. Oh, dang, that person sees me. They said I was talented. That person sees me. They said that I'm intelligent. But when people said, like, oh, you're beautiful, what am I supposed to do with that? And so now I have to grow up in that way of being beautiful and smart and kind and talented, but I have to add that beauty in there. And I love that I'm able to see the beauty in other people, but it took me a while to see the beauty in myself, and it took me a while to define that beauty for myself. And that was something that, you know, we're just like, don't be focused on that. No, you don't have to be focused on it, but don't skip it either, because it's still important. It's still a part of you. You're still a beautiful person, and that should be noted as well as and as much as everything else. And you know, I shared that with my sister, and she was like, yeah, I just never thought about it that way. And we don't think about, you know, we as children often don't think about our parents and how they were raised in different times. So when we're like, oh, because I value this, because my morals turned into this, this is what I'm going to make what's important for my children. That's what we focus on. That's what we try to pass down. And so for my dad, he didn't feel like he needed to pass down certain things. He didn't feel like he had to be there all the time. Like, he was like, oh, I'm there for the big moments. Like, you graduated, I was there. You performed somewhere really, really big, I was there. You did something big, I was there for that. But in our eyes, it's like, oh, you're just a visitor. Like, you might be a fan, but you're pretty much just a visitor in my life instead of being a root in my tree of life. And again, conversation that just needed to be had, but we have to be able to see it from all perspectives so that we get a better picture of what's really going on. And it's not that, you know, he was being facetious and just mean and evil or anything like that. He was just doing what he thought was best and what he thought was the right thing to do. And even looking at conversations that I've had with my mother, it was like, you know, it hurt and it bothered me that I felt like you chose your career over your children. But here's the thing. My mother was in the Army. She signed away her rights and her authority to be a parent so that she could protect the United States of America. And so for me to be so self-absorbed in a way that I was just holding on to that anger, like, you are always at work. Yeah, she literally had to be at work. But here's the other thing. She did that because she thought that's what was best for her children. She's given me the opportunity to travel and see the world and have a broader perspective of what it means to live. And I did not look at that and I did not appreciate that until I was older. But I didn't have the opportunity to know and to understand until I was older. So saying that, oh, you'll get it when I'm older, I could have gotten it when I was younger if you had have just explained it to me. So because we glaze over this, because we say, I'm yo mama, I'm yo daddy, like I'm grown, I don't have to give you that explanation. No, you don't have to give me every single detail, but I do deserve some type of explanation. You tell me to ask questions in class, but I can't ask questions at home. And that is the narrative that we have to change. And I love how we're changing that now. And it is different now. Before, we used to be like, oh, those kids is bad. They disrespectful. They are rude to their parents because they're asking questions. No, ask me questions. Let's break it down. Now, again, I have every right as a parent not to go into detail of everything, but I will give you enough information to where you can understand better, because if you're put in this situation, you're going to do what you think is best for your family. That's all that we do as women. We do what we think is best for us. As men, they do what they think is best for them. When you're husband and wife, you do what you think is best for your marriage and your family. And as friends, we do what we think is best to build that friendship. So how we have to be able to have those conversations and to really look at the different perspectives and to truly understand. Now, was it easy for my sister to be like, oh, you know, he thought he was doing what was best because it was still wrong? Like, you weren't there that often? But no, it was not easy. Because at the end of the day, we still feel like it's wrong. And she has every right to be. She has every right to feel that way. Because her morals and values said to be here 9 to 5. His morals and values was like, oh, I'm there at 12. Like, yeah, that's your lunch, but I was there. But, and you know, relationships are a give and take. But relationships are beautiful when communication is at the very top and forefront. And looking at generations, our parents' generation, they weren't taught to talk. And our generation was taught to ask questions. Like, I know, I don't understand that. No, I don't see why you did that. So you're going to have to talk to me. You're going to have to give me a whole lot more information. So it's uncomfortable on both ends. It's uncomfortable for my dad to hear like negative things about him and the way that he considered he raised us. And it's hard for us as kids, like, oh, you know, we just want our daddy. And he's like, no, I'm not going to be there. And so it's give and take, it's compromise, and it's understanding that at the end of the day, we're all going to do what we think is best for each other. And I have such a respect for my parents in that way, because it's like, they really, if we're going to compare to how they grew up, they did what they thought was best. And that's beautiful, because there are a lot of parents who are like, I don't have to take the time to be a parent to you. And nowadays we just have more options not to be a parent. But the fact that my parents did say, okay, I am going to take the time to be a parent to you, but I'm going to parent you the way that I think is best. I'm going to take all the positive and the negative that I grew up in, and I'm going to take some stuff out, add some stuff that I think will work this way, and I'm going to try it. And that's where I have respect for my parents in that sense. And that's conversations I have to have with my sisters, is, you know, we may not agree with everything and how they chose to do things and how they chose to raise us, but you have to admire the fact that they still chose to do what they thought was best, because their mindset was, I'm going to raise the next generation. I'm going to raise a great individual, a great person. My mom, you know, both of my parents, my mom and my dad were like, I'm going to raise an independent woman. And that's exactly what they did. I am not so independent to the point to where I don't need this and I don't need this and I don't want this from people, but I am independent in the sense of this is what needs to be done. This is what I'm going to do to get it done. Let's move. And that is a great quality to have. And I can finally be honest and say that not a lot of people my age that I have seen are like that. But my parents did something different and it worked. You know, it may not work as best as they would have wanted it to, but they were doing what was best for that day and time. I'm pretty sure, like, my grandma wasn't thinking that, oh, I'm going to be able to look at my phone and see somebody. So how can I raise my children in a world that I didn't even know it would exist, you know? And so even now as a parent, I think about that, like, okay, I want to raise two adults. I'm raising two individuals. I'm raising two independent intellectual beings. And how can I prepare them for a world that I can't even imagine existing? And that is a tough responsibility, but it's exciting at the same time. And I can just imagine my parents were like that at some point in time. So having these conversations with my family and playing devil's advocate at time, it's just, I'm grateful that I'm able to see both sides. And I'm grateful that I get to show them something different, show them a different world, a different way of thinking, and give the opportunity to say, yes, it was wrong in this way because of how you wanted me to think. I think that this is wrong. But yes, I do understand where you came from at that time. But this is how we're going to move forward. Because let's not get stuck in the hurt. Let's not get stuck in the pain and the agony that it caused. And let's not get stuck there. But this is how we're going to move forward. And that was one thing that, you know, again, I respect and I love about my dad is he's always like, okay, well, what are we going to do to move forward? Sometimes it does feel like he tries to glaze over the hurt and the pain because he's so much like, yeah, I was wrong. Now let's move. Like, what you got? Are you going to love me now? Or are we going to be sitting here? Because if we're going to sit here, you're going to sit here by yourself. That's my dad. Like, if you're going to be caught up in what I did was wrong, you're going to be caught up in how you don't like the way that this made you feel, then you're going to be caught up by yourself because I'm not about to stay there. I'm going to move forward. And it's like, no, let me be in my feelings real quick. And that is something that I can say is that I feel is wrong. Like, give me some time to be in my feelings and emotion. And he's like, I don't have time. I don't have time at all. We either going to be better or you going to be behind. So it definitely gives me the opportunity to continue to grow and just move forward as an individual. But now I'm just like, no, I have to be in this moment. Now, what I do is I respect my dad and who he is. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna be in this moment. I'm gonna be upset because it hurt me. And you're absolutely right. You don't have to be with me while I'm in this, but give me the space that I need to move forward. And I think sometimes it's hard for him to do that. But, it is definitely needed sometime. Space is definitely needed. When I was learning to navigate through my emotions, I was like, oh, we're going to sit and talk it all the way through right now. Like, we're going to fix this right now. I'm upset. I don't like this because this, I feel like you could have done it A, B, C, and D. You chose X, Y, and Z. I don't appreciate it. Why did you do X? Okay. Why did you do what? And we're going to sit through it
right then and there. So now we're mad because of the issue, but we're mad because I'm not giving you the space that you need to really navigate through how you're feeling. And it's just anger on top of anger on top of anger, and we all just sitting there angry. And it's like, you know, we need this space. We need the space to navigate through our emotions and how we're feeling. Because when I'm upset, I'm going to say things harshly because I'm not going to take your feelings into consideration when I'm saying things, because I'm going to be really stuck on me, 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 me. And I think when we really learn to love people, not just your significant other, not just your family, not just your friends, not just somebody you give a title to, but people. When we start to really genuinely love people, we start to understand that I can say something that's going to hurt, but it doesn't have to offend. I can say something that's going to offend, but it doesn't have to also hurt. And we learn to take other people's feelings and emotions into consideration to get the point across. So, and again, the truth hurts, but the truth does not have to stab you and punch you and kick you and trip you and. We don't have to add all of that. The truth is going to hurt sometimes. The truth is going to be uncomfortable sometimes, but we have to be able to say, because I love you, because you're a person, I'm not going to say it as harsh. I'm not going to be as nonchalant about it. I'm just going to tell you this truth that is going to hurt. I'm going to tell you this truth that is going to make you feel uncomfortable, but just know that it's coming from a loving place. And I feel like when we have conversations with people in general, that we should always take their feelings and emotions into consideration. Now, taking your feelings into consideration is not going to dictate the truth that comes out. I'm not going to say because you're sensitive, I'm not going to call you sensitive. Because you're sensitive, I'm going to say it in a sensitive way, but it's still going to be the truth. I'm not going to let your feelings and emotions sway me from telling the truth. I'm just going to say it in a way that's more palatable, that you can take it in more. Because at the end of the day, I have to let you know that what you did offended me. I had to let you know that what you did hurt me in some type of way. I do a self-reflection quite often during conversations, and that's why I usually have like a pause when I'm talking to people. Because if something they say, if something they said offended me or hurt me in some type of way, then I have to take a pause, be like, okay, so is that my truth? That do I feel that way about myself? Do I feel as if that is, did that bother me? Why did that bother me? Okay, now we can. Because if what you said was truth and it bothered me because it is true about me, okay, I know that I need to fix that. But if you said your truth and it bothered me, why did it bother me? Did it bother me because it is my truth, or did it bother me because it just hurt you? Because that's different. If it just hurt you, that's not my truth, that's your truth. Now, I can accept your truth and then try to say it and do things in a way that's easier for you to understand so we can move forward. Because conversations that I have is for you and me to grow. And if we can't have a conversation where at the end of this we're both growing, then it's not a conversation that needs to be had. Because I'm not going to dump everything on you like that. Nor will I allow you to dump everything on me. Like, both of us have to grow. Both of us have to accept we just have to have the opportunity to grow and be better at the end of it. And that was a lot. But, you know, I just having the conversation with my sister was really good, because I feel like she was able to hear something different, and in a way that's not going to say, no, you're wrong, you shouldn't feel like that. And a lot of times we get told that because of who we are. Like, we as women, oh, you shouldn't be so sensitive, or we're young, you just don't understand because you're young. And we have to really understand what that does to a person. Like, you're telling me I'm hurt just because of this, and you're not giving me the opportunity to grow and to be better. Don't you hold me back. If I get held back, it's because I hold myself back. It has nothing to do with anybody else. And that is the opportunity that I wanted my sister to have, like the growth opportunity that I want to have. I want her to have a better understanding of everything that is going on so she can make the best choice and decision for herself. It's not my job to tell somebody what to do. It's not my job to tell you how to do it. I give you options so you can make the best decision for you. And just grateful that we are at the point where we can have those conversations, that we're at the point where we're really building a different relationship with each other so that it changes the relationship. Like, we can't say, like, I used to say, oh, I don't get along with girls and I don't like to do things with a lot of girls. Like, we can't say that anymore because the narrative changed. Yes, you have some catty people, but you have catty people. You don't just have catty women. You got catty people, men and women. Someone asked me that question, like, oh, do you prefer hanging out with girls more than guys? And I'm like, I like hanging out with people because stupid does not care what color you are. Stupid doesn't care how old or young you are. Stupid does not care if you're a man or a woman. And I feel the same way about love. Love does not care what color you are, how tall you are, how short you are. Love comes in all shapes, sizes, and pedigrees. So you better move on with it or you're going to be stuck. But we have to stop putting our definitions on things that, the things that are just so simple. We make it so hard, and it doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to be that complicated. We can love, we can be stronger, we can be wiser, we can have our petty moments, we can have our angry moments, but we just have to move forward and grow. Again, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to tell someone how beautiful they are. Don't forget to wake up and find the beauty in the world that we live in. And just be excited about life, because life has so much more to offer. I know these are tough, strange times that no one really thought would happen, but there's still beauty in it. There's still life in it. So let's live life to the fullest, and let's be grateful, and let's just move forward. Let's have these conversations and let's move forward.